I'd ask you to turn to Luke, the 14th chapter, 15th verse we're starting in. Today's message, let's go and get them. Let's go and get them. We finished up the series for spiritual warfare. We finished up the way of the master. And it's real timely of all these things that are about to happen. And it's not by coincidence. Luke 14, starting in verse 15, we'll be reading to verse, actually, the Lord's telling me to go to Luke 14. Where, Lord? We'll start in verse 12. We're going to run into a parable and into another parable. Verse 12, then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the lame, the maimed, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now, when one of those who were at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat the bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, this is Jesus, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all had one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused. And still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and reported these things to the master, and the master of the house became angry. Said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you have commanded. Still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. We know that from the inception of streams, that the focus has always been, up to this point, individuals getting right with God and getting their lives put into a path that would first have a vibrant walk with God and also begin to start seeing a destiny that God has called for their lives. And part of the Great Commission that Jesus had was he told us to go and make disciples. And Streams is not interested in converts. We're interested in disciples. Why? Because it's real important that the disciples, they are the warriors. Anybody can join an army, but there's warriors. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for his warriors, of which you are that class of disciple. And part of this disciple-making process is we had gone through a time of making sure we put foundations into people's lives. Why? Because we wanted them to know the truth of what it meant to be a Christian. What is expected of the individual to be a Christian. We then went from there to encounter with God, getting rid of the junk that's in your life, spiritually and physically speaking, so that your walk would not be hindered in any way, shape, or form. And that your walk would be scrutinized in such a way that you could give glory to God as your life was changing. We also did encounter with God with the purpose of equipping us to deal with the demonic. And that was the first stage in dealing with the demonic, was we had to get rid of the stuff that was influencing our lives. We went from there with roots of character, what it meant to have the righteousness and holiness of Christ exuding from our lives. We also did Contagious Christian, which now will be updated to Walk with the Master. I find that that's probably a lot easier. It's more fluid in its presentation, so we will make that adjustment. And the last thing was Kingdom Finances, to make sure that we understood what it meant through the Scriptures as to how to operate properly in the Kingdom of God. And we wanted to really bring those understandings together. In this parable that we have here, the king or the owner of the house is not only giving us an illustration of what it meant for the work of the church, which was to go out and bring people into the church, but it's also a mandate of who we're to go and compel. And what we're going to see in this coming week is those who will respond are those who have nothing to offer us. Okay? Those who will respond to the king's invitation have nothing to offer us. We have everything to offer them. And so we need to understand that it's not what they can bring to us or pay for us and all their nice things and all, but we have a treasure that they are ignorant of and they are in need of. And so for us as warriors, we need to really have the mindset that we're going to go about doing Father's business, and the plan has been set forth that we are going to do Father's business, but also we need to prepare ourselves this coming week. And as I've said to you, starting tomorrow night, I will start a full fast, a complete fast for everything that's going to happen. We know that the enemy is still fighting us. The garlics had a small problem, but praise God, that's going to be rectified in a short period of time. He is trying to thwart us from achieving our set goals. And our set goals this year are very modest, but I believe that God wants that to honor us and meet those needs as we go forward. We need to understand also human nature and how human nature is. All we have to do is look at ourselves. The areas that we wrestle with, that we have not laid and died to, we have not nailed to the cross, we tend to put it to the cross and pick back up. These are areas that we learn from spiritual warfare that the enemy wants to use against us and will continuously use against us until we die to those things. It's just that simple. But we need to understand that people that we're going to meet this week and ongoing, because this is a lifestyle thing, this is not a once-time event. This is only the beginning of our warfare. And we're going to take the war to the enemy. We will see that people will have all kind of excuses why not to get right with God. Well, I got this going on, or I got that going on. I got this party to go to. I got new house I've got to. None of this stuff has anything to do with the eternal salvation or the eternal condition of a person's soul. None of it. And we must understand that the way to deal with a person is to deal directly with their conscience, as we saw through Way of the Master. When we come in contact with people, we need to understand that they are of particular groups. And what I want to do today is begin to enlighten us a little bit about these groups that are out there. And of course, you know, the easiest ones is the atheist. You know, the atheist doesn't believe in God until there's an emergency. And then you hear him say, "Oh God, help me." And we all heard the story about the guy who was in the Amazon who was preaching a message, and there was a fella there who was with the Indians telling them that there's no God, there's nothing out there and all. And the fella come up to him and said to him, "Well, I can prove to you that there is a God." And he goes, "How's that?" He says, "Because I rescued a man the other day who was on the river, and he was going to go over a waterfall, and that person was crying out to God for help." And they said, "Well, what happened to that man?" "He's over there now telling you that there's no God." We need to understand that whether they believe in God or not, Jesus Christ died for them. Jesus died for every soul, as deceived as they may be, or as religious as they come off. He died for that soul, and it's our job, believe it or not, it is our job, not just Pastor, not just Miss Holly, not Dan, it's all of us, the church in unison, to get this gospel message preached. Why? Because he's coming back, and we know that. We missed the bus Saturday. If you didn't know about it, the last Saturday was the end of the world. So, well, I think he's going to miss that one too. Yes, it was. I'm almost sad. I was running away from the weirdo. What are some of these groups that we're going to come in contact with? Well, the first group is called Postmoderns. And what these guys are about is they are the liberalists in Christianity. They're the liberals. And I don't mean the liberals like they are in the politics, where the liberals in politics believe in more government and more government control and more taxes so that they can spend your money the way they see fit instead of taking their money and spending it the way I see fit. We're talking about people who are enlightened. I call them neo-Gnostics. Their life centers around experiences of truth, in that as you go through life, you will experience truth. The fallacy in that understanding is that God gives us truth through His Word. They don't believe in moral absolutes because they believe that moral absolutes, your moral absolutes and my moral absolutes, may not jive. And to impose my moral absolutes on you is wrong, because after all, I need to experience life. Well, the fact of the matter is that God is absolute, and He tells us that we're absolutely corrupt without Him, and that we are in need of a Savior, and that in this need of a Savior, that is the beginning of truth. That is the beginning of wisdom, to acknowledge God and our need of Him. And what we need to do is, with individuals that we come in contact with this kind of mindset, is we need to share our lives with them by showing them that we search for truth by faith, by being in the Scriptures. We don't need to experience life to have truth, because not everybody's experience is the same. But God's truth remains the same. And what He says, it is true yesterday, it'll be true tomorrow, as it is true right now. But if we're not in the Word and we don't know the Word, we don't know what's true. And these individuals tend to have this existential experience that they're looking for truth, when really all we need to do is be in God's Word. If you want to know anything, it's in God's Word. So that's the postmoderns. Then we have recoilers. These are those who have left the faith to serve their sinful appetites. They these are the ones that have left the faith because of emotional pain. That's either through an individual who has abused them, or a figure like a pastor or an elder who has abused them physically, verbally, sexually, whatever it is. They have left the faith in that. In their understanding, they believe that God has allowed this to happen through these individuals, and they're constantly recoiling in the pain. When we listen to these people talk to us, as we're trying to give them the truth, we need to hear their pain. We need to empathize with them, but we need to also emphasize the importance that Jesus also suffered. He suffered at the hands of the religious leaders. He didn't do anything wrong, and they punished Him. They hated Him because God was not only with Him, He is God. And they felt that no man could lay claim to that fact. Well, we can lay claim to that fact because we're His children. We're children of God. You know, and all of us who understand who we are in Jesus Christ can lay claim to that with confidence, not in fear or trembling. We know who we are. We need to emphasize to them the importance that Jesus suffered injustice, just like they suffered injustice, but He entrusted Himself to the full will of God, that God is in control, and God will return onto that person good things. We just need to keep focused on where they are and win them back. He has a plan for their lives. They need to get back into the game. Then there's the moderns. These are those who have no spiritual reality past the physical one. They say that this is the only reality there is, and our neighbor across the street is one of these. He believes that when he dies, that's the end of it. There's nothing more. And I say to him how sad that is, to think that you live an existence of maybe 50, 60, 70 years, and there's nothing left of you. And that is sad, because it's terminal. Why give your best effort? Why look to continue on the human race, so to speak, by having children and all? If you have a belief system that once you're done, it's terminated. We need to help them understand that their thinking is faulty, and that we need to pick their curiosity in such a way about spiritual truths, that there is a spiritual reality. Every people group in the world understand this. It seems like in the modern world, we're in Western culture predominantly, we have these individuals who believe in just a time frame of existence, and that's it. We need to not quote Scripture to them, but emphasize the importance to them that God is in control. He is Spirit. And we don't get into an argument with them, but our position is that after this reality, there is another world we're going to. There is another reality that's more real than here. And we had the promise of Jesus. He says that where He's going, He's going to come back and bring us to that place. And so we have a confidence of where we're going. They don't. And I don't want us to focus on instilling fear into them, but really begin to impart a hope, an internal hope into these people's lives, that only through Jesus Christ is there a hope. And that if this person is right in his thinking, then we're the fools. But if we're right, they've wasted an eternal possibility. And so we need to understand who they are and what they think. Now there's another group that I want us to, this is probably the largest group, and it's still growing. It's growing faster than any religious organization, and it's called the Neo-Pagans. These groups include Wicca, Druidism, New Agers, witches, vampires, wizards, Mother Earthers, polytheists, ancestral worship, folk religions, and many other groups are included in here. They believe in worshiping the creation and not the Creator. And we know in Scripture it says that in the last days they will do this. These groups see Christianity as boring and powerless. Why? Because most of the modern Christian view of things has no power whatsoever in God. There's a form of godliness, but there's no power. And what I believe that God is doing is He's raising up in the midst of which we are part of this, is looking to God and allowing His power to come forth through us in real tangible ways. Kyle the other night had asked for prayer. We prayed for her, but we didn't pray full enough. What she asked for, she received. Immediately she was healed. But we didn't know about her back. If we knew about her back, she would have been healed instantly right then and there. And this is the kind of stuff that the world has to see, that God is powerful. He's able to do these things. All we need to do is do our part and be a conduit to allow this to happen and believe that God is able to do this. And it's real simple for me. I believe God's able to do this, so I just lay hands and expect him to do it. When he doesn't show up or he doesn't manifest, that doesn't mean that something's wrong. It just means that he's sovereign. He's choosing what he wants to do when he wants to do it. He's not the old jack-in-a-box, God-in-a-box type of thing where you crank it up and here he is. He shows up. He has a purpose for everything. And remember when I did the teachings on time and space, how he's between two eternities? It takes time for that manifestation to happen. But we know for a fact that in spiritual warfare, they can hinder, the demons can hinder the message of the healing or the receptive of healing to manifest. And so it's real important that we as the church come together. We have to come out of this mindset of being an individual. We can do our own thing and whatever. Your own thing affects the whole body. Because when one hurts, we all hurt. But when we're all in unity, there is a magnificence of power and glory that comes forth, as I explained about the light and the glory with our armor and stuff. Remember? Many of these individuals are into occult practices. They use potions, spells, role-playing, a lot of the games. Dungeons and Dragons was the first biggie that was in there. And those who have come to Christ since then need to renounce. You know, it's one thing to receive Jesus Christ, but you got to renounce what you did before, because that is an open door for demons to enter into your lives. And we emphasize the importance of renouncing every previous thing, whether it's Ouija boards, tarot cards, astrology, whatever the nonsense may be. Cut it off, renounce it, and get it under the blood. What we see here today is is these individuals find that invoking spiritual powers, and they don't understand that they're evil, but invoking these powers to do things is exhilarating. But it's also addictive because it's a double-edged sword. As they're invoking this, they're losing their own ability. They're becoming more and more ensnared into it. Today we see this element blossoming into the technical world. We have what they call techno-pagans that use electronic dance music and virtual reality gaming. Those two areas today where they're in these clubs now, they have these things on their heads, and they're into a virtual reality with sound that is really invoking demons into their lives. And I can't understand why someone would subject themselves to this nonsense. But it's very active in a lot of the dark circles of our culture today. And we may run into these individuals. I mean, the techno electronic music is very seductive. And what it does is it draws you in by that beat. And of course, with us being gadgets, minded people, you know, with electronics and the games and stuff like that, we're easily drawn into that. And what happens is the longer we entertain that, or the longer that they entertain that, the further from God they become. They don't realize it. They think that they're invoking a power that could be God, but the reality of it is they're being seduced. We need to help them understand that their only way to break free is to submit themselves to Jesus Christ. He has broken all the power of the enemy. He is absolute king. And as long as they're involved in this without renouncing their lifestyles, they're only asking for trouble. You see, only Christ can enable us to overcome the power of sin. There's no other power in there. And all of us, before we came to Jesus Christ, I believe that we've all tried to break these habits, only to find ourselves being drawn deeper and deeper. And a lot of these people are being drawn into that without the knowledge of God. We have to show them that serving righteousness and holiness is not boring. It pays tremendous dividends. And as I said about the generational vision that God has given to me, it pays dividends to our children, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. The more we walk in righteousness and holiness, good things are to abound to future generations. Same is true with those who invoke this nonsense. They themselves are invoking curses and all kinds of things that go on into their lives. And you can look at a family tree and see those individuals who have followed after God to be blossoming. But it's really kind of sad when you look at those who have not followed after God, what their lives have come into, what has happened. You know, I think Jonathan Swift, when they did a family tree on him, that he had most of his family had lived for God. He had a couple state senators, some governors. He had a person who actually ran for vice president of the United States. A lot of them were pastors of churches and all. The few that did not follow after God met tragic ends to their lives. Terrible, terrible deaths. Their families were cursed. Premature deaths and things like that were in there. But on the other side, where God was in control, you could see this family tree of just constantly blossoming more and more. We need to tell these people that where they're going, although they don't believe it, where they're going and where they're at, eventually they're going to come to ruin. And who are you going to call besides Ghostbusters? Next is the rebels, and these are those who have left Christianity in pursuit of their sinful appetites, because they find that the chasing after sin is more appealing than chasing after Jesus Christ. And that's most of these individuals out there. They don't follow any moral absolutes. They don't have any credence to the Christian faith. They don't believe in anything but what feels good, do it. We know that this is seriously troublesome. I would call them Christian atheists, because they do believe in some of the things of Christianity. They just live their lives as if God doesn't exist. And that's sad when you have people who go to church to hear the truth about the living God and what He has done and His provisions for His people, that as soon as they get outside the door, they're living like He didn't exist. And that's who these individuals are. They're rebels. These rebels, where we can help them is give them direction and purpose. Most of them just want to do their own thing. Most of them just feel that they're in control. They know what's good for them as their life is going into the toilet. We need to present them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Only through Him can our lives be rescued from the flames of hell. And also understand that can cut the devastation of improper thinking in our families that we begin to produce good things. And that means just coming back, repenting to God, living your life for Him, giving His life and His forgiveness a reality to your own heart, so that your life can account for something good. Because you see, we're not to live for ourselves, we're to live for God, and allow Him to use our lives in such ways. They need to understand that serving sin is not, it's pleasant for a season, but eventually it's going to cost you a whole heck of a lot. And these rebellious individuals, and they're willing to take others along with them. That's a problem. And so when we have individuals that are rebellious towards God, they want to have a party. They want to bring more into that. So we really need to be mindful of these individuals. And the final group is the drifters. These are those who have not maintained investing their lives into God. By that I mean they're always church hopping. They're always looking for the next best thing. They're the ones that are out there that know things about God, but there's no root to them. They don't understand that without being rooted into Jesus Christ, there's no life in them. They'll produce no fruit. You'll have a quasi-religion about it, but There's nothing of substance. Their relationships are very shallow, and they use the church as a social club, or they think the church is a social club. We just come in, hey, fine, how you doing? And we move back on to other things. These people have to come to understand that there's more to life than just hopping around. And if you're hopping around, we need to explain to them, because you don't have any root, there's going to be no substance. There is no relationships of substance. And that's what this whole thing is about, is building godly relationships with people, or building a net of righteousness and holiness through people. So that when Christ comes and he tells the angels to draw in the net, there'll be a lot of people coming into Jesus Christ. The key for us is to know that the Lord know his message, and know how to articulate the love of Jesus Christ. We need to explain to them it's his desire that they turn away from wickedness and forsake it. It's one thing to turn, it's another to forsake. And we had this discussion, I think it was last night. We were talking about how individuals can receive Jesus Christ, but they don't forsake their lifestyles, and so they're constantly being drawn back in. These drifters need to understand that about commitment, and that is probably the biggest issue in their lives, is commitment issues. They've either been betrayed in such a way that the commitment and trust issues have been thrown out, and so they don't get close to people because they're afraid that they're going to be trounced on or forgotten or just cut off. And we need to let them know that if all people forsake you, God will never forsake you. This is the message of the gospel that we need to explain to these individuals as we go in. We need to really be mindful of how we're going to articulate when we're talking to people, when we use the tracts, and when we use all the visual aids coming this week and from now on. We need to understand that we have to reach these people. It's a mandate from heaven, whether they know God or not. Now, I haven't even gotten into the discussion about those who are in false religions, you know, like the Muslims and the Jews, basically, you know, or the Mormons, or Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, they're deceived, and they believe in what they believe. We need to have God's anointing in order to break the power of deception upon these groups, so that we can speak the truth in love to them, so that they may understand the reality of Jesus Christ. Now, let's face it, most people have some sort of spiritual bent to them, but they don't have truth. They really don't. You know, and when we have truth and we're able to articulate like the way we have, we can always allow them to go onto their spiel until we're about ready to begin to draw them in. So, tell me, are you really a good person? You see, that's our opening. And we need to lead them to understand the law of God, that all have broken the law of God. All have fallen short of the mark. All of us have. The difference is that in Christ, he doesn't kill us for falling short. He builds us. He takes the ashes of our lives and he rebuilds our lives in such a way that it glorifies him, and people are drawn to us. Not that we're anything special, but because of Christ in us, the hope of glory, that light, remember, the armor, either draws us to draws people to us, or we draw the fire of the enemy. But whatever case is, it's that light. You and I are walking in this light. We are light bearers. We are armor bearers. We are the King's servants. And we're going to have great opportunity come this Saturday. I want to encourage you guys that, you know, practice. Practice the way of the Master. Practice in what your part is. Pray. Pray that you're found faithful in discharging your responsibilities. Pray that God gives you the words to speak to people, whether it's serving at the refreshment table, or talking about NRP, or our various ministries, or even doing the arts and crafts with the kids. Pray that God gives you the words that would prick their hearts in such a way that they would hear. If they come to streams, that's great. Yeah, I'm biased about what God's doing, and I think you guys are too. But we need to get them to come to Christ first. Let us not lose the what the prime objective is, winning the lost, then bring them into the Father's house. Whatever their excuses are, we need to bring them because they're hurting. They're blind. They don't see what's going on. They've been wounded. And they don't have the ability to pay us back. None of us have the ability. But because of Christ's great invitation to come, come as you are, come to the one who died on the cross for our sins. What greater message is there than to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to use us to convict them of their unrighteousness and then give them the eternal hope that's only found in Christ. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are prepared. You have been preparing us for this day. You have been preparing us since the foundations, and now we have matured to a place that we are now to go and take the battle to the enemy. May this be the beginning, God, of the reality that you have called the church to. You have called the church to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, building and loving people. Father, go before us and prepare our way. Be with us each and every day. Protect us from the onslaught of the enemy who would try to discourage us before we even got into battle. But most importantly, God, let us hang on to what Jesus said, that the church shall prevail, that not even the gates of hell shall prevail against her. God, we know we have the victory in you. Help us to appropriate that victory by setting the captives free, by healing the brokenhearted, by preaching the acceptable year of the Lord, and most importantly, bringing them into your house. Father, I just thank you for your people. Ask that you bless them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.